Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be hearing a familiar voice, Jonathan Mosen, and we'll be talking with him about some of the new features in iOS 7.
We'll talk about the changes in accessibility features in particular, and at the end of the show, talk about services available from Jonathan's newest venture, Mosen Consulting.
Before we get to our tip of the week, we have a quick announcement. Several listeners have reported having problems downloading or streaming episodes of Eyes on Success to their iOS devices. This includes iPads, iPods, iPhones. We now believe those problems have been rectified, and so now you can try downloading or listening to Eyes on Success on those devices. Hopefully you'll have no problems. If you do, please send us a note to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net. Thanks for your patience. Now on to our tip of the week.
This week's tip is some advice from Jonathan for people who want to upgrade to iOS 7.
My advice actually would be to first make sure that you back up, because it isn't common, but it has been known to happen that phones get turned into bricks during the upgrade process. So make sure you have a backup to iCloud, and also, if possible, have it backed up to iTunes as well for safekeeping. And then when you actually perform the upgrade, I personally would do it through iTunes, only because when you upgrade over the air, which is possible, you'll be able to just go into General under Settings and then Software Update, and it will tell you that the update's there. But when you do that, as a blind person, you lose speech for quite a long time while the update is installed. And it can make you very nervous because you just have no clue at all what's going on. A sighted person can see the bar, the progress indicator going up the screen, but there's nothing audible at all that tells you what's going on. If you do it through iTunes, then you will be able to look at the progress indicator either with JAWS or the Mac and get status information about what it's doing. So for peace of mind, I would personally use the iTunes method.
And Jonathan mentioned the B word there. And too many people forget that they should be backing up their computers also. That's real important. Get yourself an external USB drive. It's really easy these days, and that'll protect you against loss of information, a crashed disk, or any other accidents.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Jonathan Mosen.
Okay, Jonathan, so you've been on Eyes on Success several other times, but for those of our listeners who haven't heard you, can you introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm director of Mosen Consulting, which is a company that provides a range of accessibility technology training and also ebooks and webinars.
And you are visually impaired yourself, right?
Right, I'm totally blind and have been since birth.
And the cause of that is?
It's called Murray syndrome.
Now, Jonathan didn't mention any of his prior jobs, but he has, over the years, worked for and in some cases founded HumanWare, Freedom Scientific, ACB Radio, Mushroom FM, and several others. And Pete mentioned that Jonathan has been on this show before, and we will have a list of all those shows complete with links to each one. But over the last couple of years, he's spoken on this show about highlights from the CSUN conference, why and how to use social media, and features of JAWS.
And if you're looking for that information, as usual, go to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net, for the show notes with all the contact and other information that you don't have time to write down during the show and other resources.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Apple's new iOS 7 for their portable devices, which was recently introduced. You somehow managed to get your hands on iOS 7 early, so we can grill you about all of its new accessibility features.
And actually, it's possible for anybody who wants to get their hands on early builds of iOS. And that's one of the webinars that I've actually produced for Mosin Consulting. And you can still buy the MP3 of that webinar. So if you want, you can get a developer account with Apple, even if you don't plan to write any apps. And you can go ahead and test iOS. And I would encourage more blind people to do that. I mean, obviously, there are risks because it's beta code, and that means that there will be bugs. Hopefully, they'll be addressed across the cycle, but there will certainly be inconveniences. But the benefits are that the more of us who are testing this and feeding back to Apple, hopefully, the more of those bugs will be squashed by the time it makes it out to everybody else.
Ed, where can people get a hold of your webinar?
With all of these things, you can go to mosin.org, that's mosen.org, and there's a link there to the Mosin Consulting store. And there you will find all of the webinars and ebooks, including the iOS 7 without the I, a new one called Tweeting Blind, which is looking at working with Twitter, and a couple of other webinars, including this one on testing iOS.
Can you give us a high-level overview of some of the new features in iOS 7 and what to expect?
Yeah, there are a number of interesting new things. In terms of voiceover, there have been some changes made. Now you're able to have as many premium voices on the phone as you want and put them on the rotor and switch between the different premium quality voices. You can also delete them again if you want to try a couple of voices and you find that one isn't for you.
You're calling these premium voices. Are they charging for them?
No. When you go into the iPhone, by default, what you have on board is what they call the compact voices. And the compact voices are lesser quality. They don't sound quite as clear. They may sound kind of distorted or just muffled. So the premium quality voices are only called that because they take a lot more space and they sound a lot better.
Now, sometimes in these higher quality voices, at least with our screen readers, if one didn't have a powerful enough computer, these could sometimes be a little less responsive. What is the responsiveness like in these new voices?
Well, that raises an interesting point, actually, because the 3GS has reached the end of the line with iOS 7. And I think part of the reason for that is probably because there are some powerful features going on that maybe are beyond the 3GS's processing power. The oldest device that I've tested this on is an iPhone 4, and I haven't really noticed any particular sluggishness when running the premium voices. That's unacceptable. It might be a little bit less snappy, but nothing so significant that should be inconvenienced by it.
What other changes have they made to VoiceOver?
They've added a number of things to the rotor which could be of use. One of those is the ability to silence VoiceOver's audible cues entirely. So if you are using the phone with a braille display and you turn speech off and you've still got all of these clicks and bonks and sort of noises that the phone makes as you move around the screen, if you don't want that while you're using your braille display, you can now silence them without having to mute the entire phone, which was the workaround in iOS 6. And the downside of muting the entire phone, of course, is that if you got a notification alert, you didn't get a noise telling you about that. Now, in fact, the mute switch on the iPhone has no bearing whatsoever on VoiceOver's noises. If you go ahead and mute the phone, then VoiceOver is still going to make its click unless you go ahead and mute VoiceOver settings independently.
You know, I learned that the hard way when I first got my phone last year and we went to a concert. And I hit the little button to mute the phone so it would vibrate instead of making noise. And there in the middle of the concert, a notification came and VoiceOver started speaking it clearly and loudly. So I learned that not only do you have to mute the phone with that button, but you also have to mute VoiceOver.
Right. It's a good idea to either turn VoiceOver off with a three-finger press of the home button, or you can also do a two-finger triple tap, and that will turn speech off. The issue is for many braille display users, though, that doing the three-finger tap to turn speech off did not mute those audible clicks. And so for those of us who used braille, it was kind of frustrating to be navigating around with a braille display and still hearing those sounds. So really what they've done is made the best of both worlds available.
What other new features should we be looking for?
There are a number of other items in iOS 7 that affect VoiceOver directly. One of them is if you're in a really crowded environment, sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference when you're typing on the virtual screen between V, B, and D, which are all quite close together. And so sometimes what we do is we push the key and we wait a little while and it eventually says the phonetic equivalent. So we'll say V and then it will say Victor after a while. There is an option now that will speed you right up in those situations, which is that you can now have the iPhone speak the phonetic equivalent straight away. So when you push the key, it will say Victor, Bravo, Charlie right away without you having to wait for a pause for that. The downside of it is that it's not available on the rotor. So if you want to toggle it on in a noisy environment, you do have to go into VoiceOver settings and turn it on, which is a little bit tedious. That has been made a little bit easier, though, going into VoiceOver settings and indeed a lot of other settings, by the fact that Siri now knows a lot more about the internals of your phone. So you can say things to Siri like, turn cellular data off, turn Wi-Fi on, turn Bluetooth off. You can also say, turn VoiceOver on and turn VoiceOver off. And you can also get Siri to take you to specific parts of the phone's settings screen. So you can say, show VoiceOver settings. And instead of having to double tap settings, general, accessibility, VoiceOver, it will just take you right there with a Siri command. So Siri got a whole lot more useful. And Siri also got, shall we say, by gender, because now in the States, you can choose between a male Siri and a female Siri, and both voices are exceptionally high quality. I haven't heard text-to-speech this good before. It's incredible.
Well, you know, that's very handy, using Siri in that way, and I'm glad to see them expand that. I use Siri quite a bit for just opening applications, because you have many screens of folders and applications under the folders, and yeah, you can scroll to them and flick to them and find them, but if you can just tell Siri, open YouTube, that's pretty easy.
It is.
Have they made any changes to make it easier to navigate among folders?
They have changed the way that folders work. In the past, there was a limit, and that limit would depend on your phone. Because of the bigger screen in the iPhone 5, you had more room for more apps and folders than before. Now, folders can have multiple pages. So I'm a news junkie, and I have a lot of news apps, and I found that I had to make some pretty arbitrary decisions about grouping my news apps because there was a limit to the number that I could fit in the one folder. And so I would have text news, multimedia news, New Zealand news. Now I can just have one big news folder with multiple pages, so that makes it a little easier.
So you talked about some of the accessibility changes that we'll see in iOS 7, and you started talking about some of the UI modifications. What other UI modifications are people likely to notice at first?
The UI for blind people has not changed a lot, really. It looks very different. You show iOS 7 to a sighted person, and it looks like a whole new phone. They've done a lot of change with the eye candy. One of the things you will notice is that when you put your finger on the status bar, you've always been able to swipe down for the notification center with three fingers. When you do that now, you have a multi-page notification center with three views. You've got a today view, which if you've ever used a PacMate or another Windows mobile device, is kind of similar. It shows you what appointments you have coming up today. It gives you your weather conditions outside. If you have the stocks app enabled, it will show you the latest price of any stocks that you're tracking. If you've got an appointment coming up in many countries, it will give you traffic conditions and give you some indication as to when you should leave to get to that appointment based on the degree of traffic. Then you've got the missed view, which shows you in a list all of the notifications that you've missed in the last 24 hours. And then you've also got the regular all notifications view, which shows you notifications as you've always seen them, except that it also tells you now how long ago the notification came in. As well as that, if you swipe up with three fingers instead of down when you're on the status bar, you get to a new thing called the control center. And in the control center, you've got a lot of handy toggles to things that you're likely to want to change quickly. So your Do Not Disturb is in there, and all these things are still in settings where they've always been. So this is in as well as, not as instead of. But you can quickly toggle Do Not Disturb, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. There's a flashlight in there for those who need that. All of your controls for the iPod part of the device are there. So you've got your play, your next, your previous, and they work in a wide range of applications. There's a scroll bar so you can move through whatever it is that you're listening to. And in newer devices, the latest iPad and the Mini and the iPhone 5 and the new iPhone devices, there's a technology called AirDrop, and that will allow you to share contacts, photos, various other things from one iOS device to another. So if they're on the same Wi-Fi network, you'll be able to share content a lot more easily than you could before.
What other changes have they made to the user interface?
The other UI change that's worth mentioning is the app switcher has changed quite a bit. And this is something that people use a lot, because you go into the app switcher and you would normally, if you wanted to close an app, double tap and hold on an app until you heard editing apps, and then you could go ahead and double tap on each app to delete it from the app switcher. Now what you do is you just go into the app switcher, and if you want to close an app, you do a three-finger swipe up and it's gone. It's out of the app switcher, so much, much easier.
Are there any other major changes we're going to notice?
Spotlight search has also changed. That used to be accessible by getting to the home screen, page one of your home screen, and then pressing the home button one more time. And then you could search your iPhone for apps, for little strings of text that you might have put in messages or mail or whatever it is you want to search for. Now the Spotlight search is available from any page of the home screen or within any folder of the home screen by doing a three-finger flick down on the home screen.
You've talked about how useful the rotor can be. Have they made any enhancements to the rotor?
Another big UI change that I think people will really appreciate is in iOS 6, Apple introduced the action item on the rotor. And you saw this in things like iMessages and email, where you could flick through a list of messages and you could flick down to get to a delete option, and you'd flick down again and you would get to open. Now, that rotor option seems to be available in a lot more apps without the app developer actually having to have done anything. An example of this is Skype. You can go into Skype for iOS and go into your list of recent events, missed calls and people who've called you, that sort of thing. And now you can flick down and the delete action is right there to get rid of those items. In Apple's own apps, they've expanded it in some cases. In the Mail app, you can now flick down to get to, it's called trash now rather than delete. You can also continue to flick down and you get a more actions menu, and it's a quick way to reply to a message, move it, mark it as junk, and do a whole bunch of things without having to open the message. So that's a really significant change that Apple is making that rotor a lot more widely available.
Now, that rotor is very useful, and I hope people know that the rotor and what's on the rotor can be customized by going into your settings and choosing what appears in the rotor and in what order, and you can customize it to how you like to use the phone and what actions you use most.
Yes, and you can reorder the items too. So I find, for example, that I use headings and landmarks a lot together on the web, especially now that more developers are using ARIA landmarks. So I reordered my rotor so that headings and landmarks are next to each other on the rotor, because I'm flicking back and forth between them a lot. And that really has helped my productivity a lot on the web. So it's very flexible.
Well, and it sounds like they made it a lot easier to get to some of the more common actions that used to take many steps to get to.
Yeah, they have. They've done a good job with the items that are on the rotor by and large. I would like to have seen the phonetic issue on the rotor, but other than that, they really have done very well.
So a lot of these new navigation improvements that you described, they sound really terrific. And I'm just wondering, do these also apply to people who use magnification, or for people who are sufficiently sighted to be able to use the iPhone as is?
Yes, they do. The control center and the alternative view of notification center, those things do absolutely apply. They're new features in iOS itself. The app switcher has also changed, but I don't actually know whether the gestures are the same. I suspect not for getting rid of an app. It's possible that they are, but you definitely don't have to hold down an app until it jiggles now, which is what a sighted person does before you remove apps from the app switcher. So a sighted person is going to have a very different experience. The icons have all changed. People describe it as a much flatter, more austere looking environment. And I understand that Apple hired extra tech support resources and primed their staff for calls from people who were kind of flummoxed by the fact that the iPhone just looks so different now because it is a radical makeover visually.
You went through a lot of detailed information there, and I'm sure there are many new features to talk about, but I assume you discuss all this in detail in your book, and it's very well laid out. Can you talk a little bit about your book?
Yeah, this is really just a small sampling of what is new in iOS 7. I really admire and have a lot of respect for the number of people who put together podcasts on things like a new version of iOS when it comes out, and there are some great free resources out there. Really, to complement all of those great resources, I wrote a book called iOS 7 without the I, as in EYE, talking about how a voiceover user uses iOS 7. It does assume some knowledge of the iPhone already. If you're looking for a getting started book on the iPhone, then I highly recommend Anna Dresner and Dean Martineau's book called Getting Started with the iPhone, which is available from National Braille Press. But this one assumes that you have some knowledge of the operating system, and it talks you through what's new. It tells you perhaps how you might have done something in the past and how you do it now in cases where things have changed. It talks in depth about the functional and the technical. The one thing I should say is, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, if I was writing a book on an operating system from a blindness perspective, there's no way I would have considered doing an entire chapter on photography. And of course, the iPhone's made all that possible now because it's got its face detection. And so you can point the camera in the right direction and the iPhone will tell a blind person when a face is detected. Now it's gone even further. It really has made photography viable for a blind person who's got the patience to play with that.
Well, cool.
For some people who don't mind delving into the podcasts, then absolutely do that. But if you want a resource that's easy to refer to, it's all nicely divided into different headings, that kind of stuff, then you might find this a really useful resource.
And I assume that's available on Mosen.org also.
That's right, on Mosen.org in the store section, and you can just navigate to the link for iOS 7 without the I, and you can pay with a credit card or a PayPal account, and then you'll get the copy of the book emailed to you in a couple of accessible formats.
And we will have links to where you can purchase either Jonathan's book or the other book he referred to by Anna Dresner and Dean Martineau in the show notes for this show on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. For this week's final segment, we'll be talking about Jonathan's newest venture, Mosen Consulting.
So now we want to talk a little bit about your new venture, Mosen Consulting. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, Mosen Consulting is really a way of making technology more accessible through making sense of it. I mean, we've got a lot of technology out there now, and it can be very hard for people to keep up. Technology is changing so quickly. And so I'm providing webinars and ebooks. I also write a blog. I'm doing one-on-one training in two ways. I am working with a range of blindness agencies, and am happy to extend that and develop partnerships with other blindness agencies. And in which case, they can send their clients to me and we do training one-on-one, usually via Skype, but we can use FaceTime and some other methods as well. And then also, I am doing some one-on-one training with individuals. And I also have done some really interesting kind of research work where I have a number of clients who email me a list of questions. Sometimes I know the answers immediately, in which case it doesn't take me long and it doesn't cost much. And other times I don't, and I need to do a bit of research, Googling, looking at knowledge bases. And of course, this is all stuff that people can do themselves, but some people don't have the time and they would rather pay to have somebody who is technologically savvy to do the research, to come back to them with a comprehensive answer to their question or questions. I'm also launching a new venture, which I'm really excited about, called Appcessible.net. Now, Appcessible.net is a company that works with iOS and Android developers to make their apps accessible. The iPhone, it was estimated by the U.S. Department of Treasury a couple of years ago, is used by over 100,000 blind Americans. So it's a pretty lucrative potential market. And what we find is, you know, that developers can look at Apple's accessibility guidelines and they can get some idea about what's involved. But I believe that you can't really tell the impact that an app is going to have until it's been put in the hand of real-world end users. And so Appsessible does a number of things. We provide a report that looks at the accessibility of an existing app. So developers send us a promo code to get the app from the store if there's a charge. We evaluate it, produce a comprehensive report. It's no automated test. This is a real-world end user looking at the app, talking about what needs to be fixed, if anything, what works well, what might need to be changed in terms of verbosity. And then we send the report back. And also consultancy services for new apps. In other words, these are usually larger projects. A large company like a bank or a major corporate is producing an app and they want somebody involved in the project team from the ground up to make sure that the app is going to be voiceover friendly. We're sort of spreading the accessibility gospel by being one place that people can clearly go to get advice. And also for end users, for blind users of the iPhone or an Android device, there's a place on that site where you can report an inaccessible app and we will follow up and say, hey, we've been contacted by a blind person who wants to use your app, but they can't, so we'd be happy to work with you.
Well, that sounds like a great service because let's face it, most of the developers are sighted and they just don't know the issues and concerns that visually impaired people are going to run into.
Yeah, and you know, I think that a lot of iOS developers, despite Apple's evangelism, don't really understand how powerful VoiceOver is. And so I am also doing videos that show exactly how a blind person uses an iOS device so that they can see this in action. People just feel great about the fact that they can make such a difference to the lives of a blind person by making their app accessible.
Yeah, and sometimes they just need to know what to do, and it's relatively simple to fix.
Yeah, and I think that we are now at the point where we can go to app developers and say, look, we are actually a pretty substantial market here that you don't want to alienate because they've got credit cards, they've got iDevices, and they want to buy apps too, and you just can't afford to lock them out.
And how would somebody get to Appsessible?
You can find it at www.appsessible.net, Appsessible.
One quick note, the Appsessible website is not yet available as of the airing of this show in October, but it will be soon, so come back and check later. Are there any other ways in which people should be contacting you?
Mosen Consulting, there's a contact form on the page there, and that's where I get a lot of inquiries from people, and I always respond pretty quickly because I'm wired. You can also drop me an email directly if you prefer to jonathan@mosen.org, and I'd be happy to answer that way as well.
Well, we'll have all of that information in the show notes, so if people didn't get a chance to write that down, that's okay.
That'd be fantastic.
That's it for show number 1341. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll talk about blind on-air reporters. And we'll be speaking with Gary Steves of Accessible Media Incorporated about being a blind television reporter and also about one of his pastimes, playing ice hockey. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.